Blog Talk Radio.
And I really love the horn in that intro right there. You are now tuned into Soul Sessions Radio Show right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. I am your host, Dwayne Austin, and I got another good one lined up for you. If I sound a little off, it's because I have the worst toothache right now. I put some oral gel on it, and it's slowly starting to kick in, so hopefully I won't be feeling any pain in a little bit, but the show must go on, so, you know, it is what it is. Hold on, let me backtrack a little bit. I have a great guest lined up for you tonight. She is a singer-songwriter, hails from Florida, goes by the name of Monica Monet, and she will be here in the studio to talk about her projects and just, you know, we're going to kick it with her, see what she's about. Of course, I'm going to let you hear some of her music because, you know, that's just how I do it. And it'll be fun. So in the meantime, you guys just kick back, relax, light the candles, light the incense, pour the wine, all that other good stuff you do, and allow me to take you through the journey, which is the Quiet Storm.
Leaving me hungry and crying.
Long time. And oh,
Yes, that is. Oh man, I. Let me get myself together here. Yeah, that was a Waterseed, Feel Like I Do, featuring the brother John Bibbs. That goes out to Miss Epiphany Castro, my soul flower, hanging out with me in the chat room. Although it be briefly, it is still much appreciated, ma'am. Thank you for coming through. I really like that song. Like, it's, I don't know, there's just something about that song. The whole vibe is just incredible. I told Lou, who is a member of Waterseed, you know, just how much I like that song, and you know, they really have a fan in me. And they'll actually be here with me, hanging out on the 5th of October. So make sure you're here for that. Before that, we had a new artist to the Soul Sessions rotation. Goes by the name of Mika or Micah. I'm not quite sure. I'll have to ask and find out. The song is entitled You and Me, featuring Monet. Before that, we had Noel Jourdain with a track off of his latest project. Track is entitled Been a Long Time. And before that, The Incomparable Prince with my favorite Prince song, Adore. And we led that set off with Rick James featuring Smokey Robinson with Ebony Eyes. And I see my guest is on the line, so let me go ahead and make my formal introduction here, and we can just get her on. As I did state at the top of the show, tonight's guest is a very talented singer-songwriter out of Florida, goes by the name of Monica Monet, so please help me give a warm welcome to her. Yay.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I can't complain. My tooth finally stopped hurting. It was killing me for a while.
Yeah, that'll make you go crazy.
Yeah, I was sitting here. I'm not even going to lie. If this aura gel wouldn't have kicked in, I probably would have pulled it out. That's how bad it was hurting.
I know. Well, I hope you get to feeling better.
Well, actually, it does. It feels a lot better.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but thank you for taking the time out to hang with me. I know, you know, on a Friday night, you probably got a lot of things you could be doing. So I really do appreciate, you know, spending a little time with I.
No problem. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course, of course. Yeah, let's just get right into it. My first question is a question I ask of all my guests, and basically is, when did you know that, you know, music is what you wanted to do with your life?
I think music has been my whole life. I've been singing since, you know, like 9 in my church choir. Did a lot of stuff in school with music, stage bands, and went to school, college for vocals. So music has always been a compass to my life. So it's just something I was just been passionate about, music and writing and the whole nine, just everything dealing with the arts. I just love the arts.
I can dig it. But what was that moment? I mean, I figure every artist has a moment when they look at themselves and say, you know, I can make a living doing this. I mean, when was that moment for you?
With me, I guess when I was around, like, in the, like, 8th grade, I think. I wrote my first song in the 8th grade. And I just really was so happy about that song, and I was like, okay. You know, it gave me so much joy and stuff like that. So it was just around, like, probably, like, you know, in about the 8th grade or something, I really knew this was something that I wanted to do. So at that point.
I can dig it. What about your influences? You know, who out there influences you when you, especially when you write your music? You know, who do you listen to as a fan? You know, just who?
When I write, like, anytime I get ready to write or get ready to do a new album or whatever I'm doing, I actually don't listen to music. Because I don't want to be influenced on that part as far as the writing. I really wanted to come from the heart, but we all know there's nothing new under the sun. So you can reinvent something, but it's basically how already have been did. It may have been did on a different type of scale, but it, you know, basically have been done. But normally I'm just a very passionate person. I just like to write what I'm feeling. So if you're listening to my music, 9 times out of 10, that's something that I was going through at that moment, because I always call my songs, like, personal testimonies, you know. But as far as influences, growing up, I know that Soul Train was some. I always watched Soul Train. I love Patti LaBelle, Aretha Franklin, Shanice Wilson, Tracy Spencer, you know, Salt and Pepper, and I also like Krista Gayle, you know, Reba McEntire, Bon Jovi. I had, like, so many, it was a wild range of things, you know what I'm saying? I just like music. So anything that was good, you know, I really loved it. When I was in, singing the church choir, I always looked up to our piano player, Gayle Jones, dealing with, you know, I love the way she sounded. I thought she was just amazing, you know, because she was right there, and this is someone that I can touch. So I always looked up to her and be like, one day I want to sound just like her. you know, so it was just so many influences. I just love music, so I don't care if it's country, hip-hop, or R&B, soul, you know, I just, if it's good and it's saying something, and if it's feeding my soul, I mean, I dig it.
I understand completely. So, I was sitting here thinking of this question. I'm trying to figure out how to word it. Okay, I'll come back to that one. Let me ask you this. If you had to, like, I can imagine as an artist, you don't like to categorize yourself, but if you had to, you know, put your music under a label in the record store, you know, like, where would you want it to sit?
Yeah, like you say, you know, most independent artists don't like to be boxed, but I know that when I came out with my album 2 years ago, well, maybe it was 3 years ago, 2009, Nappy Halo Volume 1, I was just so neo-soul. So I would put that album strictly under the neo-soul category. You know, I was wearing my hair in an afro. Everything was neo-soul, candles and all that stuff. It was just neo-soul. The new album that I got out, Simply Beautiful, The Love, The Hurt, The Rebirth, that album is more contemporary, like R&B, but I feel like a lot of the new R&B, you don't hear a lot of rhymes and a lot of soulful singing, but I kind of feel left that in there because, you know, to me, that's the root, the soul, just straight singing and just, you know, giving it your all, not really, you know, taking it, you know, safe or what have you, but I would kind of put that one more into the R&B, an R&B category, because I tried to get out of the box of neo soul a little bit and just trying to do, you know, with R&B you kind of have more, you know, variety that you can do. But it's all soul. At the end of the day, it's all soul. So it all generates to the original blues and soul and stuff like that.
It's interesting that you say that, you know, trying to get out of the neo-soul box. I mean, why did you feel that you needed to do that?
Well, it's because it's like once you're in a particular box, like if I wanted to have, like, for instance, if I wanted to do a song with, like, a hardcore rapper, a neo-soul artist is really not kind of, you know, affiliated with that. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, if you put yourself in a particular box that people think like, oh, she's a neo-soul artist, that doesn't mean that I can't sing pop in it, or it doesn't mean that I can't sing a country song. You know what I'm saying? So as a singer, you know, to be versatile is a very beautiful thing, and you don't want to limit yourself to one type of music. You know what I'm saying? You want to be able to test the waters. I think that's the beautiful thing about life is that you're able to go and, like, you know, test the water and try new things. You know, I would love to do other genres of music, techno, or, you know, like the house music. I would love to hear my voice in that type of music as well. So I'm just open for, like, all types of stuff.
I can dig it. Now, first track I want to play, I'm going to get into in a minute, is the new track that you sent me, Teach Me. I wanted to ask you, is that a part of an upcoming album, or was that just a single release?
Well, it's coming from an upcoming album that I'm working on. I'm going to re-release my Simply Beautiful CD. I'm going to do an extended version on it. I have a great producer out of the ATL, and they go by, well, great producers. They do a lot of my stuff, and they're amazing of music. Out of the ATL, and, you know, they have always showed me so much love and different stuff, so I kind of wanted to do something with all of their tracks and stuff, and, you know, so I kind of want them to present something like that, so I'm going to re-release the Simply Beautiful album, but I'm also going to do, like, an EP called Music Presents Monica, Conversations with Monica Monet, so it's going to be, like, a fair, this laid-back EP, real simple and sweet, but just a beautiful CD just to chill to and just have different mini grooves to, like, gumbo.
Ah, gumbo. Yeah, I understand that all too well.
All kind of stuff in there, you know what I'm saying?
Right, so. Right, exactly. Now, if you could be so kind as to set this song up for me, like, you know, what is the story behind Teach Me?
Teach Me, I teamed up with this amazing rapper out of the ATL, L.A. He's part of a Dungeon family, second generation. He's a part of just a whole so many things. He's, you know, producer, writer, what have you. So we met up at a show, and I really liked the way he performed, and he really liked the way I performed. And his manager came up to me and said, you know, let's exchange information. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we can do something. So that's exactly what happened. We met up. We liked each other's styles of music, and we just got together and teamed up and did a song together, and it came out, like, magical, you know what I'm saying? Because we are both at the cream of our crop, you know, dealing with the music, you know, the music and the writing and the production and everything like that. So we kind of wanted to do something. And Teach Me was actually about meeting someone for the first time and new love. You're meeting someone for the first time, and sometimes when you're dealing with love and stuff, you know, you carry so much baggage to where if a person do something and reminds you of another person, you already got that person labeled as the other person. So basically it's about, in my eyes, I don't know what Jaws of Life would say about it. In my eyes, the song is about Teach Me, you know, teach me how to love again, you know, teach the trust, you know, the honesty. And that just started as friends from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I know we live in a microwave world. We don't want to wait for anything, you know, why do I have to wait 2 hours for something to cook when I can cook it for 5 minutes? But you know, the wait is the most beautiful thing, too. So.
That is true. All right, folks, well, let's go ahead and check out this track here. This is Monica Monet with Teach Me.
Jaws of Life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Monica Monet. How you doing, man? I like to say Monizy. Candlelight, no elbows up on the table, man, it's right. Yeah. Straying away from words like, hun, I, this is a special one.
Okay.
Your boy done cleaned up, she must be a special one.
What?
We moving on up like elevators in Jefferson's building. She feels him, say he is the chosen one.
Uh-huh.
Her little mini messiah, got things in common, what? Common in Hezekiah. Walk her to the door, I don't want her to go.
Nah,
trying to be hard and I don't want it to show.
Nah,
want to impress, really want it to flow. So I sit there with this single and said, it's me and Mo. Nate, listen, life. I lay eyes on you.
go over there.
Knock, knock. Yeah. I hope you like it. Did you like it?
Yeah,
I wrote it and I quoted. Kinda spoke it when I wrote it.
Really?
Kinda knew we end up on sofas watching a little Oprah. Repeats, of course, and I can teach you if you wanna learn.
Yeah.
If you wanna make the mic burn like a burn. And you have too long. Yeah, then come along. Yeah. We can live long. George Burns, when it's
that's
our
right.
turn, we go home. Hold up.
That's right.
I like that. I like that. That's really smooth.
Thank you. I want to say something to you, everyone that's listening, for the next 24 to 48 hours, if you go to my Monica Monet fan page or on Facebook, or if you go on Twitter, my Twitter account is Monica Monet 904. If you follow me or go on my fan page and hit like and let me know that you hear me, you know, that you was listening to the interview and you heard Teach Me, I'm going to send you that download for free for the next 48 hours.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice. See, now I wish I could do that. I might just do it anyway, even though I already
have. Do it anyway.
I was thinking about what you said about, you know, reliving past relationships. And I find that people tend to do that subconsciously. Like, even I take the last relationship I was in, I really didn't think about that until it was over. And I realized that, you know, I did that a lot. And I didn't, you know, it's like I wasn't trying to compare or anything like that. I guess, you know, it's almost like, you know, you try to, I guess you can only go on what you've experienced.
Exactly.
And, you know, my experiences in terms of relationships, you know, they're pretty limited. You know, I mean, I've dated, but I've only been in, you know, I can't even say a handful of real relationships. I'd say three at the most. And, you know, one of them was, you know, we ended up getting married. And so, like, I think that's what I found myself doing. And I say that to say that it can be detrimental, whether you mean it or not. Like, it can be really detrimental to a relationship because, like you said, you know, who wants to always hear that?
Yeah. And it's like, another thing is, you know, if something hurt you, like someone tell you this stove is hot and you touch it and you burn yourself, you always remember that stove. I'm not never touching the stove. So I think that's like when someone in a relationship really hurts you, or if you've been really hurt or just misused or your trust. Because, you know, I have a song called Love Changes, and it goes, the person who loved the most have the least control. Because, you know, it's like if someone loves you so much, they'll do anything for you. You know what I'm saying? So it's the type of thing is that, you know, that someone that gives their all to someone, and they kind of get hurt, you know. But then if they, like if a person do one particular thing and that's something that annoys you, if someone else do, you'd be like, oh, I bet they're just like them because he would have done the same exact thing. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's not always true. So,
I mean, so, like, what do you think can be done to help deal with that issue? I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is communication. But, I mean, even for someone when you're not in a relationship, like, what do you think you could do to kind of prevent yourself from doing that going forward?
Well, I mean, for me personally, dealing with music, a lot of times I can't really have like serious relationships. If I try, it's like sometimes you got to choose between the music and in the relationship, and like a lot of anything to work, you have to put time into it. But as far as choosing not to do that, I think what a person really has to do, and this is with me personally, I think a person has to have a rebirth within themselves. You know how one person break up and next month they're with another person, and the next month or like 5 months with somebody else that don't work out, 6 months with someone else. I think you have to give your time. I think you have to give yourself time to heal spiritually, mentally, and physically. You know what I'm saying? And I think you have to learn how to love yourself first, because, I mean, with me, I'm learning to do that daily. You know what I'm saying? I'm learning to do that daily, is that, you know, you don't want to be in a relationship to feel like that person's supposed to make you happy. You should know how to make your, kind of make yourself have joy within, and that person is a plus, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you see so many people like, I can't live without this person. I mean, why? You know what I'm saying? I know it's very hard. Don't get me wrong. Don't, you know, not saying anything bad. It's really hard, especially when you really like someone. But I think for me personally, what I had to do personally, I had to completely just reinvent myself, you know, put the time into myself. What do Monica like, or what kind of foods Monica like, or, you know, what kind of things Monica like to do, you know, different things like that. And I feel like when you find out who you are as a person and you put your personal values up and you respect yourself first and love yourself first, and that, I think when someone comes in your life and they're not that personal value, or they don't have the respect that you have for yourself, I think you learn very easily that anything that you have to force, then it's not meant to be. Anything that's meant to be, that's something that you don't have to force. You don't have to force a person to be in your life. If they want to be there, they will be there, you know, and I have to learn that. But that's learned with age. Some people learn it earlier than others. I happen to learn it later in life, you know what I'm saying? But I wish I would have learned it earlier. Because, when you think about all the stuff you went through just to keep a person satisfied, when you get older, you look back on that, you're like, oh, man, I did that. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a beautiful process of growing and healing as well.
I can definitely dig it. It just made me think about, you know, what you were saying before about, you know, having to choose between the music and a relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least we'll say ideally, like, if it's real enough, like, I don't believe you would have to make any choices, like, because, you know, whoever's with you, especially if they know this is what you do and this is your passion, mm-hmm. like, why would they, you know, make you choose between that? Like, the idea is supposed to be to, you know, to support that or enhance what you're already doing. I mean, at least that's how I look at it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, like I said, I have to learn later in life, but earlier, you know, a lot, you'd be surprised how many people don't have a passion, you know. And that's the first thing I love about any guy that I meet. Do he have a passion in something, whether it's music or acting or spoken word or drawing or cooking? What is your passion? Because, you know, if you don't have a passion, then you don't understand passion. You see what I'm saying? So they don't understand you being in the studio 5 hours or 6 hours all night. They may say, oh, you was with the, I feel like you be stepping out, or whatever they may say, or I don't feel like you're in the studio that long. What can you be in the studio that long? See, if you knew a person with passion and a person that knows that with passion it doesn't come instantly, and that sometimes you are in the studio like 4 or 5 hours truly working, or sometimes you at the club 2 to 3 o'clock truly working, trying to sell your CDs, trying to make your money to eat from, or when you're traveling. You know, or like if you're somewhere and, you know, like you have guy fans, you have female fans, and you give up your time and you can't necessarily cater to this person. So now what I look at is, do you have a passion? Because if you do have a passion, then you understand what a passion means. And so, and that's another thing, is that finding a person that is equally yoked to you. You know what I'm saying? Because I can't expect a person who doesn't understand my passion to understand what I do, why I do what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Now, is that how you define being equally yoked? Because I find that term being used so loosely that I'm not even sure exactly what it means anymore.
Yeah, I think for me, equally yoked means it's someone that understands what I understand. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, you know, people give different definitions to what they feel like it, what means to them in their life. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Interpret it so many ways. But for me, equally yoked means, first of all, can me and this person see eye to eye? You know what I'm saying? Can we have a conversation and understand each other properly? You know what I'm saying? You know, because so many times people think that, you know, to have a conversation is arguing or maybe hitting or fighting or you know, become hurtful. Some people think just, you know, the only way to communication is through lovemaking. You know what I'm saying? Or I have to do this. It's like, easily yoked as a person, if I was a guy, I mean, if he was a guy, he would be me. If I was a guy, I would probably be him. You know what I'm saying? Something to like you can talk without even speaking. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I feel that it means. But people say so many things. I don't even look at finance when I really say equally yoke a lot of times, because I think finance, if two people come together and they have knowledge and wisdom and understanding, that is a given. Because you already know how to get finance. You know what I'm saying? But as far as different things is like not understanding each other, not actually, you know, having a spiritual connection, that's what I think it is.
Do you think that's something that can be developed, or it has to exist from the beginning?
I think it's something that has to be developed. I think so many people, I mean, I think Giles of Life is getting ready to call in. He just texted me because I told him to call in as well. But I think it's something that has to be developed. You know what I'm saying? I think when you meet someone for the first time, I think you really got to get to know them first. You know what I'm saying? Because we all know that when you meet someone for the first time, you're showing your best. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to show all your flaws the first time. You might scare them away or what have you. But to me, it's very important to get to know a person first, get to know their beliefs, what they like, what they don't like, their disbeliefs, whatever. You know, I feel like this, and I read, like, I'm always into reading, like, stuff to enhance me or enhance what I think of, just different stuff. I read, a book that says that if you find someone and you truly like them for who they are, like a friend, you know what I'm saying? If you can truly hang out with them every day and laugh and have fun, or they can be your best friend, you know what I'm saying, then it may be the person for you, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times after so many people get out of bed, they don't even have a conversation. What is left to say? And like I said again, it's a microwave world. Everybody wants it now instead of later, you know?
Right. And what's funny, I was just having this very conversation just yesterday with my neighbors. And, you know, I was saying to them that I think the problem with the way relationships go these days is because, you know, when people meet someone for the first time, they automatically, you know, well, at least from my experience, they automatically try to see if, you know, see the potential for a relationship, or, you know, a potential to be married to them, or even, you know, sexual compatibility. Like, they look for those things first. And in my opinion, if you put those things first before just trying to get to know someone, like,
mm-hmm.
it'll never work, because that's where your mind is going to be at. And anything deviating from that just seems like a distraction and a hindrance. And so,
yeah.
You know, you're just going to subconsciously pull away. And I was telling them, like, if you know, and they were saying, well, you know, you're physically attracted to someone, that's what draws people together. Yeah, that's true. But as a mature adult, you should be able to put that to the side and try to dig deeper and focus there. And essentially what I was saying is, you know, if you come across someone and you just take all of that other stuff out of the equation and just get to know this person. You know, don't try to, you know, put a time frame on. Just get to know this person without any expectations. I think in the long run, even if nothing romantic comes out of it, you still have a good friend. You
exactly.
See what I mean? Like, I mean, it can never hurt you to do that. And, you know, I try to tell people that all the time, because I mean, at least I get tired of hearing people always complaining about, you know, these people are no good, like, I'm tired of no good women, or I'm tired of no good dudes. I mean, like, you have to realize that, you know, a good portion of the reason why you're like this now is because of yourself.
it's not always just these other people. You have a part to play in how things turned out as well. But, you know, people have pride or whatever the case, and they don't want to see these things.
Yeah.
But I digress. You know.
It's so true. I mean, the relationship world is so hard. I think that's for me. It's like, I think it's safer for me to put my time and energy into music. Because, you know.
But what are you afraid of?
Well, you know, with me, that's just something, you know, I can write about it. You know what I'm saying? I can write about
it.
So, you know, a lot of stuff that I write about, like I said, I have been through before. So it's just like, I love writing and stuff, but it's just like, if it take out a lot of my time, like I said, if I have to think about something too much, it just frustrates me. You know what I'm saying? If I have to think about, oh, did I say something wrong, or, you know, blah, 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 stuff like that frustrates me. So I just actually, I'm like a type of person, I'm just, life is like music to me, or like I can get up in the morning, brush my teeth, and write a song. You know what I'm saying? That's what I like to do. You know, I'm very peaceful. You know what I'm saying? If I can't be nowhere that I don't feel peace, you know, so if it's a lot of turmoil or arguing and all that, I can't take that stuff. So I just think when the right person comes for me, that person will come. You know what I'm saying? I'm not out, you know, every guy I meet trying to make him the right person. I think so many women, you know, and I have done it when I was younger, you know what I'm saying? Oh, he's nice looking. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to make him the right one. You can't make a person right for you. That person might not be for you. You know what I'm saying? That person probably could have meant to be for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a true believer that nothing happens by chance. Everything is providence. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was supposed to be on the, I was supposed to be with this interview, on this interview on Soul Sessions right now. You know what I'm saying? I didn't supposed to be nowhere else in the world but right here, right now, because that's what I'm supposed to be. So I'm just that type of person, so.
Now, I can dig it. I believe your friend Jaws of Life is on the phone now. Let me go ahead and bring him in and see what's going on.
Okay.
770, you are on Soul Sessions.
Soul Sessions, what's good? What's up, Miss Monizy?
What's up, Jaws of Life?
How y'all doing?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I appreciate y'all reaching out, allowing me to call. I was on the phone, and I didn't see the text, so I apologize if I'm late. But I thank y'all for having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Well, while you're here, let me go ahead and grill you, you know, because we just played the track. We just played Teach Me, you know, and I got to listen to your vocals. Impressive vocals. I do like, you know, as a hip-hop guy, you know, I give respect where respect is due, and I like when a hip-hop artist, you know, like, when their style, I'm not going to say, well, I don't want to call it style, I'll say style for lack of a better word, but you can tell, I'll put it like this, you can tell when a hip-hop artist is using a template as opposed to just flowing on their own. And I can tell when I listen to you that your flow is your flow. It's not no one else's. You know, you flow how you flow. And I wanted to ask you about that. Like, is that something you work on, or is that just how you do?
Well, it's basically just how I do. You know, I believe I've grown since I first started this thing. So it's, you know, it's fun to go back and listen to your older music when you first start off and you hear the growth. And of course there've been influences that's already established in the game that you listen to. But I do think that the sound is unique. And it's just me, man. I can't, it's Jaws of Life. That's who he is. That's what I bring to the table. And, you know, I'm just happy people have been so receptive to it over the years. It's just been a big, you know, humbling experience, man, just to be this far and working with such great artists like Monica. I'm sure she probably explained to you how we met and you know, now to have a record together that's, you know, people are really liking it, it's awesome, you know?
For sure, for sure. Now, I have a couple more questions. I do want to get into another track, but before I do, I have a couple more questions for you. One, when I hear the term Jaws of Life, I have an idea of what that means in terms of, you know, why you go by that name, but I don't want to speculate. Yep. So I wanted to ask you, you know, what, how did you come to call yourself that?
Well, I was sitting at home in Atlanta one day, and I was watching the news, and I was just watching TV, and it was a real bad accident, and they had to use the emergency jaws of life, the actual jaws of life, to get the person out of the accident.
Right.
And it just came to me. It was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to speak life and with my jaws to help people out of their situations. So hopefully the music that I create will be able to, somebody will take something out of it that it will help them, you know, in their daily process. And then when you cut it down, because I am an MC and don't just consider myself a rapper, you know, when you cut it down to jaws, that was the more of the culture part of eating tracks or eating them seeds. So, you know, it's jaws of life. Jaws is you know, the umbrella under jaws of life. And then people call me JOL, and, you know, I got about, just like any other MC, got 50 million aliases, but, you know, that's where it came from. It's just about speaking life. And the older and more seasoned that I get into the game, I understand that it's more than music, you know. It's anybody can be a jaws of life. You know, you can be a jaws of life. Monet can be a jaws of life. It's about speaking and putting to the atmosphere that's going to help, you know, people. Because in this day and time, I mean, we need it, you know. No disrespect to any artists out there doing their thing, but, you know, we don't need another song about making it rain. We don't need another song about, we got that balance already there, you know. So what we're looking to do, I know, speaking for myself, and I'm sure Monica can agree, that we're just looking to bring that substance, you know, back, because it has been there. Artists everywhere doing, you know, what we're doing, plus. But just to bring it to a forefront and really allow God to use us as vessels to be heard all over the world is awesome, man. So that's basically what, you know, who Jaws of Life is.
I can dig it. Now, my second question is, I asked Monica when we played Teach Me, you know, what that song meant to her. And now I want to ask the same thing of you. What does that mean for you, you know, that song?
The song itself, it kind of takes me back to that classic hip-hop duet, you know. The Mary J, the Method Man, the Common, and the I believe Mary J.
Right, I was about to say Mary J again.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it was fun. It's loving. It's you know, something you can still play in the club, because, you know, I was telling Monica, I had been hearing it, the song, over my, you know, through my phone, and I finally went to out into a studio and turned it up loud, you know. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, we got some. When I heard the kicks and the bass and then the change in the chords and everything, I was like, wait a minute, hold up. You know, and that's when I really got excited about it. So it just, to me, it brings back that fun place that we used to have when we used to create songs together. You know, some of the old classic joints.
I can dig it. I can dig it. Now, I do want to get into another track. This song is the first, Monica, this is the first song that I heard of you. And this is the song that turned me on to you. And that's Gravity. And I told myself that I wanted to make sure I played this because I wanted you to talk about this song.
Okay. Let me talk about it now.
Yes, please.
At least you want to play it. Okay. I wrote Gravity when I was going through something in life. You know, I was going through a little depression on, you know, just on many things. And it was like, you know how gravity kind of holds you down and different things like that, or it could be love, it could be finance, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be anything that's gravity in your life that's holding you down. That song, I wrote that song for people, for anyone to know that, you know, if you're going through a hardship, if you're going through something, it has to be a rebirth. You can't go through a hardship without a rebirth. You know what I'm saying? You have you have to fight for your rebirth a lot of times. But gravity is like, it's just a really, it's a personal testimony where I was going through things in my own life. And I think that when, and like I told you earlier, all my songs really are like personal testimonies to me, because that's how I write, by my life experiences. But gravity is just one of those songs. It's kind of sad, but at the end, it's kind of like glorious. You know what I'm saying? Because I start saying, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. So basically, whatever you're going through, get up from it. You know what I'm saying? Walk away from that. You know, life is beautiful. It's all how you live it. You know what I'm saying? You can be drowned out by one situation in your life forever, or you can just like, okay, this happened. I'm going to move on from this, and I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to make it better. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically what gravity is about. It's about, you know, life and just learning from mistakes or whatever gets you down, that you just get up from it and have that rebirth.
I can dig it. So basically what I gather, you know, just in general about you and your approach to music, it's a ministry for you.
It's so much a ministry to me, yes. It really is. Because while people are being healed listening to my music, I'm being healed listening to it. If I go through something, I'm turning gravity on. You know what I'm saying? If, you know, like if whatever, you know, I'm healing from my own music, because I feel that God speaks to me through words. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like I'm, you know, like God was, I'm his vessel, and that he speaks to me doing his, you know, through his words. And I try to tell so many people that ask me, why you don't sing gospel? You know what I'm saying? Why you not in the gospel choir? I tell them God didn't call me to do that. You know, when he calls me to do gospel or the ministry, if that's in his will, I'm going to do that. But God is telling me to go secular. You know what I'm saying? Because you have so many people who have been hurt by the church. You have so many people who just basically hurt. And, you know, and they might not step foot in the church, just like a Mary J. Blige. I always call her a minister of music. You know what I'm saying? When she got through with her hurt and when she got through her rebirth, she told everybody, you know what, no more drama. You know, come on, ladies, no more drama. Get yourself together. Be ladies. You know what I'm saying? Be happy. Do you. Love yourself. You know what I'm saying? So she's changing women's outlook on what they, you know, you have to love yourself before anyone can love you. You have to respect yourself before anyone can respect you. So I think God is putting music or everywhere. It doesn't have to just be in the church. You know what I'm saying? You got to, some of us got to actually go into the battlefield. Like, churches is a battlefield too, but like, sometimes you just got to just go where people may not believe in what you believe in, but you have to keep your own personal values.
I understand completely. All right, folks, this is Gravity. Go ahead and check out this lovely tune here.
Brought us together. Now the situation's gone. complicated heartbreak and don't want to discuss it any further. Why do love got to hurt? Why it can't be easy? Tell me.
Heard that song, and you know, I sat there and I'm listening to it, and you know how you have that song where you don't even realize where you close your eyes and you just kind of like zone out with it, and you know, and I'm listening, and I just kept thinking about like every obstacle that you know that I've ever come across in my life, and you know, like the decisions that I made when I reach those obstacles. And it's basically, you know, what the song says. It's like when you, well, this is what I get from it anyway. When you, okay, when you get that point, you know, like you said, you know, you either choose to let it swallow you or mm-hmm. you rise above it.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't tell a lot of people this, but, you know, there was a point in my life where I actually contemplated suicide. And, like, that's how bad things were for me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm laying in bed one night, and I swear to you, it felt like I was in a coffin. Like, I literally couldn't
wow.
move. And, you know, no matter how hard I tried, I just could not move. And I'm just laying there, and, you know, it's dark. And I just thought to myself, like, dude, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was at that moment where I just decided, like, you know, I'm never going there again. Like, I don't care what I go through. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm never letting it get to me to that point again. And, you know, I have a tattoo to this day. I got the image from a playbill for Macbeth. And
mm-hmm.
it's a picture of, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a picture of a skull with a crown. Now, the image itself, like it's kind of dark. It like the crown had people impaled on it, and like the skull had these horns. But I didn't want to take it that
wow.
far, so I just you know I didn't you know without the horns and without the people
mm-hmm.
impaled. That's the image that I have tattooed on my arm, and I use that to remind me like that's where you were. Like don't go there again. I mean, and you know like. Like I was saying, listening to that song, it allowed me to revisit that from an outside perspective. So
so I wasn't caught up in what I went through again. But I was able to look at that and say, okay, you know, I was there, and I pulled myself out of that. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, but that's the power of music.
And can I say one quick thing? I've had that same feeling, the feeling of laying there, and it felt like, in my situation, it felt like something was trying to pull me up under the bed.
Wow.
And I had been smoking though, so mine was a little different. You know, it was a little different, but it was the force that I felt. And that, you know, the force that I felt. And I had to, I literally stayed up the whole night. Like, I wasn't going to go to sleep because it was like something said, if you go to sleep, you come in with me. And I just fought it. And I was like, no, I'm not going to sleep. And I'm going to stay up the whole night. So, yeah, it was definitely a spiritual awakening and an attack on me that night. But, you know, that I'm not going to get into the whole statement, but when he has his hand on you, then, you know, you can go through things like that, and you don't have to wonder how you came out. You know, you were still in his hand. So
definitely. You sounded like you were in an episode of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, it was scary, man. Like if I told you that whole story, your mouth would stay open the whole night. Like that was a crazy night. I had two nights like that. So when you said that you were just laying there. And you felt it, like, I can agree to it. I know that feeling. I never did think about taking my own life. I thought my life was about to be taken, and that's why I stayed up the whole night.
You know, it's funny though. Like, I had never before or never since ever had that thought. I think for me, and when I look back at the situation, it wasn't that serious. But I think I had just allowed it to get to me so much that I felt like, what was the point?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I mean, like I said, there are good spirits, there are evil spirits, and you had the evil ones in your head. They were talking to you. Go ahead and take your life, you know. And you have to. One of the good things about it is that you came through it. You know, obviously, you recognize that, and you came through it. So that's the beauty of it.
Indeed. Now, I want to ask both of you, I want to dive more into the technical aspect of songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a poet and a songwriter myself, so I always ask the guests that I have, what is your process? You know, like, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. What is your process for writing a song?
Ladies first.
Well, with me, my process is basically is what I'm feeling at the moment. Like I tell you, I sing all the time. I sing so much that I sing and I don't even know that I'm singing. You know what I'm saying? It's like breathing to me. You know what I'm saying? So, I just write. You know what I'm saying? I just write whatever I'm feeling at the time. Or a lot of times, you know, it's like if I hear an instrumental and it does something for me, I hear the words. You know what I'm saying? I already see the words of what it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? I might, you know, flip it up, switch it around or whatever, you know, to make it what I want to make it. But the original words, it's just like music talks to me. It's just like I just write for life. You know, I am music. I am lyrics. I am words.
I can dig it.
With me, I always say the songs will tell you what to say. Monica, you sent me this track first, right?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you sent me this one first. And
mm-hmm.
I recorded mine first. And I always say that, you know, the track will tell you what to write if you listen to it close enough. A lot of things. You know, I think some people try to force songs. I've had situations where I just, you know, I may have gotten a track that was just super dope, but I couldn't come up with anything. That one might not have been for me. But if it's supposed to be, it just comes, you know, naturally. You don't have to force it. you know, I think she sent me this track. I fell in love with the beat. I think I sent it to her that next morning. Like,
yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, I mean, lyrically the next day.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you recorded it like the next day, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. I think you got it to me that night, and I listened to it, and I was like,
yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, but here you go. Like at 2 o'clock, p.m., 2 p.m., it was done. And I sent it back to her. And so when it clicks like that, you got something.
Now, as musicians, though, I mean, I can imagine that, you know, especially like if you're working on a project that, you know, you kind of have a schedule. So, like, how do you fit that into being able to, you know, keep on schedule? I mean, because it sounds to me like, you know, like you said, it's an organic experience for you. But how do you, you know, how do you not coincide, but how do you balance that with, you know, the business side of making music?
Well, you want me to take that, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
Some things you just can't plan. Some things you just can't. Like, I didn't expect none of this, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't know where the song was gonna go. And then the next thing I know, you know, it's charting. This, you know, we're getting emails that it's playing here and playing. You know, I don't know. You just have to let it flow. You do your part, and I just leave it up to God to do his. That's basically it. I can't really. This right here was not structured. I don't think. Would you agree, Monica?
No,
like we didn't really sit down and say, okay, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this. I mean, we had the vision as to when it was recorded. Of course, you have the vision of when you're gonna release it, the marketing, how you know things that you're gonna do of that nature. But as far as it coming together the way it has, it's really been divine. I can't take credit for it.
I dig that. All right, well, let me ask you this: like for someone like myself. Well, I guess, you know, between being a hip hop artist and singing, like I don't sing. And as a poet, I've always been told, well, I'm not going to say I don't sing. I just won't sing. I won't ever let that be recorded. Let's put it that way.
It stays in the shower.
Yeah, it stays in the shower. But, right. if I had to, you know, correlate my poetry to something in particular, it would be more hip hop because, like I said, you know, I grew up in the hip hop era. My poetry tends to be lyrical and structure. And so, for someone who writes songs but doesn't necessarily intend to be the performer of the songs, so you're writing for someone else. Like, you know, how do you do that? I mean, I find, you know, for myself, like, that's the hardest thing because, you know, I don't even know who I'm writing for. I'm just writing. And so it gets a little difficult at times. I mean, if you guys have any advice to help me do that one, I would be greatly appreciated.
I just said just write because if you're writing for a purpose, you know what I'm saying? Just write. You know, so many times we question why we do what we do, but we just do what we do, and then I think the purpose will reveal itself. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you may be writing for someone. You don't know anything about that person, and that person finds those words, and it's meant for them. But I'm a type of person, I felt that you wrote it for them in the beginning anyway. You know what I'm saying? I have wrote songs that I know is not a Monica Monet song. You know what I'm saying? So I just write, you know. And sometimes when I can't write, like y'all said, I don't force it either. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like I'm at this moment. I always have my phone. I record every song on my phone because it hits me like instantly. So I think that's just like anything, you know, that you're passionate about or that, you know, that's embedded in you. You're going to perform what's in your heart, you know. So my advice to you is keep writing. You know, and don't question it. So when you write the words down, don't be like, "What this means?" Just do what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? Just don't question it. Just do it.
Were you speaking specifically about writing music to sell, or as far as like hip hop? I'm thinking my mind straight went to ghostwriting. And how do you become that person?
I could see myself doing some ghostwriting, especially for the fact that, you know, I'm not going to be the performer. I wouldn't mind writing for people at all.
Okay.
I mean,
well, I've done that before, and it's like acting. You study the character, and you learn the character, and you become the character. That's basically how I handled my situation. I listened to the artist. I got a pretty good idea. I studied the artist. I would learn the cadence. I would learn what they would say. I took me out of the equation. As much as that, and that's, I think that's the challenge, because you're you. To become somebody else, you know, that's why you have great actors. You have the Denzels and your people, you know, in that field that do so well, because they become the actual person that they're supposed to be. And so if I'm writing for this particular artist, if I study the artist and I know who the artist is, I kind of got a feeling of what they would say. It helps me out a whole lot. And you know, coming up with the lyrics, you know, for that particular track. So you just have to know, who you're doing, study who you're doing, and then become that person.
Yeah, that's his vibe, too.
And tell him to cut a check.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Have to, pay me.
Right. There you go.
I can dig it. Now, before I let you guys go, I want to give you guys the opportunity to put whatever information you want to put out there into the universe, you know, any shows coming up, you know, projects you're working on, whatever it is. The floor is yours.
Okay. Go ahead, Monica.
Okay. Let me see. I don't went blank. I got some stuff is in the works. I got an EP that's coming out soon. I'm going to, like I had said earlier, re-release my Simply Beautiful, The Love That Hurts, The Rebirth CD as well. But, you know, just connect with me on Facebook, Monica Monet fan page, or Twitter, Monica Monet 904. And I normally do very well by posting up what I'm doing and what have you. Or you just can go to my website, www.themonicamonet.com, and all my events and stuff will be on there, because I just went blank right now. But I would post all that on there. You know, go to my social networks and my website and stuff.
Cool. And you can find me at jawsoflife.com, jawzoflife.com. You can follow me on Twitter at the same thing, Instagram. Everything is Jaws of Life with a Z, .com. And as far as what's coming up, I'm working on my album now, in the preliminary stages. So if any dope producers, not beat makers, dope producers out there listening, man, y'all can hit me up via the website. I'm taking submissions for production. And title of the album is called I Took the Stairs, and kind of a double entendre. But
I think I get that.
Yeah, you know, because I mean, basically, you know, you could either go the easy route or you can work for it. And
right.
I feel like in my walk, I didn't take the elevator. I could have, but I chose to stay me and take the stairs, but I'm still going to be, might take me a little longer to get to the top, but I'm still going to get there.
Now, before I let you go, I have to have you explain the difference between a producer and a beat maker, because someone out there needs to know.
Yeah, well, I can make a beat. You give me a beat machine, I can put something together and say, here go a beat. Production to me is knowing music, reading music, playing music, you know, possibly bringing in live instrumentation, Not necessarily all the time, but that's the difference between making the beat, taking a, you know, SP and just hitting, you know, hitting the keys or whatever. And then, you know, when you learn music, you study music. And I've had a chance to work with some guys that has really, Team MFN, by the way. I mean, they produced a couple of my tribute albums. I did one for Mike and I did one for Luther Vandross. And they were behind the music, and they really spoiled me, man. Like, seriously, I mean, they play notes, they break out the keys, they don't sample frequently. So that's the difference between a producer and just somebody that make beats. Nothing against, I love hip hop. I want some hardcore hip hop on my album, but I'm just saying for the majority of it, I'm looking past just making songs. I'm trying to focus on, are these songs going to be able to be used for television and film? That type of thing. Because people, you know, companies that does placement don't want to deal with samples. That's just another clearance and more legality that they have to go through. So why bring it, like, you know, if you can cut that out, then why not go straight to them and say, okay, well, here's a great song. No samples in it. Let's talk.
You got a point.
You know? Just like with, and that's why I also choose to keep the music clean. I think that's, somebody asked me too, well, why you don't curse in your music? You know, it hadn't always been like that. Well, I thought about it. I said, well, number one, I want everybody to enjoy it. Kids, grandparents, you know, everybody enjoy my music. Gangsters, pastors, everybody. And number two, it's easier for radio. It's easy to get edited. You don't have to do a clean version and an edited version. You just keep it clean and talented from the get-go, and you got a great song. You don't have to worry about all that.
You got another point.
So, yeah.
Well,
so that's,
I mean.
Yeah, that's about it, man.
Well, I definitely thank both of you for coming on the show. I mean, it's been a blast. The thing I like about, you know, well, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I when I listen to a lot of interviews on mainstream radio, you know, they're usually really short, and, you know, they ask a few questions and that's it. But I like interviews like this because, you know, you get to know the person for who they are, not just, you know, the music that they make. And that's what I try to do with every guest that I have. And, you know, I tend to learn something. And, you know, that's the benefit that I get from it. You know, I learn something every time. I mean, it could be anything, but I'm always learning something about life or whatever the case. And, you know, that being said, you know, I thank you again for, you know, taking the time out to, you know, come sit with me for a while. And I'll definitely be, you know, staying on top of you guys because, you know, I want to be in the loop when the new music comes out because I need that.
Definitely. You got to hit the sites and catch up on the old stuff, too. I'm sure it's
a lot.
You know, it's a lot of stuff on that site.
Yeah, you didn't tell him about your Bandcamp. He has a lot of good stuff on there.
Oh yeah. Well, you can actually, if you just go to Jaws of Life Back, I try to keep it, in the central, you know, point. If you just go to jawsoflife.com and click music, that'll take you to the music.
Okay. I like Big Luther.
Big Luther. That's the most recent, I guess, EP mix CD that I've done. And the whole concept is, I had a whole lot of Team MFN came to me with an idea and said, hey, we like doing tribute albums. We want to do a tribute album for Michael Jackson. We want to do one for Luther Vandross. And they submitted 20 to 25 beats. They said, Jaws, pick your favorite 10, and let's do it. And so we do it. And all of them have the samples in it from the artists. And then they put it together where they have, you know, the transition between songs, the interviews. You know, they put it together real nice. That's another part of being a producer, you know. That's what Quincy Jones and all those great guys brought to the game. You know, they just didn't put the music. They put the vision to it, you know.
Right.
So you can actually see these type things. And so that's what it is. So, yeah, if you get a chance, check it out, man. It's all free, like I said, because it's full of the artists' music and samples. So we're not selling it. So you can definitely go and download it for free. Just go to JazzLife.com and click music. It'll be right there waiting on you.
For sure, for sure. Now, I'm going to ride this interview out with one last track. And this one, Monica, is off of the Simply Beautiful album. As a matter of fact, you mentioned this song earlier in the interview, and that's why I wanted to play it, because I wanted people to hear the song that you were talking about, and that's Love Changes.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's cool. All
right. So, you know, if you could just briefly, you know, set this one up for me, and we'll get on out of here.
Oh, okay. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me on the show. I want to thank Jazz for calling in. You know,
thank both of you guys. I appreciate
love.
It.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to say thank you to the online radio stations, the internet stations that support indie artists. You know,
definitely.
A lot of times, if it wasn't for the mom and pop stations or the smaller stations, a lot of the independent artists' music would not be heard. And so many, you know, people, music would not be heard, but it's like a big market for this now, so it's a beautiful thing. But as far as the song Love Changes, I wrote this song about, you know, when you meet someone, maybe it doesn't work out. It's not his fault. It's not your fault. Love changes. Move on and let it go. So that's basically what the song is, and, you know, in a short version. But I want to thank Soul Sessions for having Monica Monet in Jaws of Life.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
For sure, for sure. All right, Joe. You heard it from her herself. This is Love Changes, and you are listening to Soul Sessions.
a beautiful track. That is definitely a beautiful track. Yes, before I get out of here, once again, I want to thank both Monica Monet and Jaws of Life for coming through. It was a blast talking with you both. I actually made a mistake earlier in my broadcast when I said that Waterseed would be on the show on the 5th of October. It's actually the 12th of October. On the 5th of October, I'm having a talented artist by the name of Neek Matos out of Washington, D.C. on the show. So you definitely want to catch both of those. Thank each and every one of you for listening in tonight. If you are listening via the archives, as always, I invite you to listen live each and every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. And that being said, I am out of here. Make sure you are here next week, same time, same place, and we will do this all over again. And I'm going to get this thing rolling with Brother by the name of Brown Hill. This is Unspoken Rule. Peace.
We call ourselves friends, and not lovers, though that word hardly covers exactly what we share and how we care for one another. But the glow in your eyes, I thought I could see, was merrily my imagination. And for the duration of a split second that it happened, you were probably not even thinking about me. But hey, it's cool, it's our unspoken rule that we shall never touch, never kiss, stick to reminisce. But other lovers passing by,
it's cool, it's our unspoken rule. Yes, it's fine, I can accept the fact that you're the guy. It's cool, it's our unspoken rule. Yes, it's fine, let people decline.
When you open your mouth to say the word, people see we're like a couple growing old. I put up your collar when you're cold, and you won't comment the clothes I so carefully chose. My best non-matching set, just to upset the fashion of a lie. It means to see if you will even notice me. But hey, it's cool, it's our unspoken rule that we shall never quarrel, never fight. Love is mine, and never clean the mess that newlyweds make, which you'll never break. Our unspoken rule. Until maybe one day we will.
Hey, it's cool.
One side is hot. Some things we started, and others need to stop. Yeah, there are times when I feel your love, and it feels so sincere. Then there are times when I don't know if I want to be here. Because half the time we're fussing and fighting. Yeah, half the time we're making sweet love. Yeah, all the time we're dividing romance, and we're still in love on a 50-50. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, I can black and white, no color, paint a picture so clear. It's like being alone and being afraid, yet possessing no fear. Hey, crazy girl, in our mixed up world, how the bound become free. There's 50 good days for every 50 bad days for you and me. Because half the time we're fussing and fighting. Time. You and me, we're making sweet love. Hey, all the time, baby. Dividing romance, and we're still in love. We better share up and down. Because yeah. We're fussing and fighting. We're making sweet love, you know. All the time, baby. Dividing romance, and we're still in love on a 50-50. Yes, baby. Yeah, yeah. We better shout nothing down, baby. Have. But Lord knows we're gonna make it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 'Cause we're still in love. Still in love. Still in love. Because half the time we're fussing. We're fussing and fighting. Yeah. Making sweet love, you and me, we're making sweet love, baby.
All the time,
all the time. Steady to body, steady to body, romance, baby. How come we're still, how come we're still in love, baby? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Half the time,
I don't wanna let you go, baby. No, 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 no.
Half the time.
We're making sweet love, yeah.
All the time,
all the time. Steady dividing romance. And we're still, you and me, we're still in love, baby. Hey, hey,
hey.
I can't let you go, I won't let you go. Don't let me go, oh, no, no, no. I gotta have you, baby, right here with me.
familiar. I've gone this way before.
This time
there's a little something different I can't put my finger on.
Please don't
take me back to yesterday. I'm healing from the wound.
Questions:
how did I even get here? After all, whose fault is it this time? Yours or mine?
Yours or mine?
I said there'd be no relationship, but here we go again. No hopes to die. I could have drowned from all these tears I cried. That's why I said no more.